something about it. Teacher's like, it's going to be $300,000. And the kid said, so?
So?
Yeah. And they did it. They did it. They accomplished it. I mean, I keep saying this, man. This younger generation, they are not.
Picture.
They're getting stuff done.
Yeah.
We can learn from them.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Just a great story.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, you two. Great show today. You guys have a good one.
It was fun, James.
Yes, it was.
You know, it was all right. It was.
Yeah, right back at you, sweetheart.
Oh, we're into pet names now? Okay, bring it.
I can't wait till you read your birthday card next week. That's all I'm saying.
That's so good. Have a good one, you guys. We'll talk to you both real soon. And, have a great day, everybody. Be safe out there. Stick around for Morning Magazine right here at... Well, you know what, James? I like the way... Wait, that doesn't make sense when I...
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The U.S. is expected to hit its debt limit today, and lawmakers on Capitol Hill differ on raising the ceiling or making budget cuts first. For now, Treasury Department plans to shift money from some accounts to others. Correspondent Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
The nation's debt limit is $31.4 trillion, but without more borrowing, the government can't pay for expenses it's already incurred. The last time Congress nearly breached the debt ceiling was 2011, and it caused a downgrade of the U.S. credit rating and a shock to the stock market.
This morning, stocks have opened lower. The Dow is down 193 points in early trading. S&P's off 25. Actor Alec Baldwin comes into focus today in a deadly shooting on the New Mexico set of his movie Rust in 2021. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
According to Santa Fe's district attorney, Baldwin and up to three crew members could possibly face charges in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. During an October 2021 rehearsal, Baldwin was holding the prop gun when it discharged around, killing Hutchins and injuring director Joel Souza.
Baldwin calls it a tragic day, but denies wrongdoing. Two EMS workers in Springfield, Illinois, have been charged with first-degree murder after a man they'd strapped face down to a stretcher suffocated. Attorney Bob Hilliard represents Earl Moore Jr.'s family.
I think that based on the video, which thank God there is a video, that they'll be convicted.
Police officers had called for an ambulance after they were told Moore was hallucinating from alcohol withdrawal. President Biden has just left Washington for California to view damage firsthand from weeks of devastating storms. Debbie Fetter's been struggling to save belongings in her flooded apartment in Acampo and undergoing chemotherapy at the same time.
It's like a nightmare. I never thought this would happen here, and that's hard because I have to find now a storage, find somebody to help me with this stuff. It's just, I'm exhausted.
Denver's digging out from a foot of new snow as the storm system moves toward the East Coast. Hundreds of thousands of people are protesting in cities across France over pension reforms that would raise the country's retirement age from 62 to 64. The BBC's Azadeh Moshiri.
It's really rare for all unions to band together like this. Even the most moderate union that President Macron thought maybe he'd be able to hold on to has joined this movement. And that sort of banding together hasn't happened in more than a decade.
The Dow now down 170. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Pride.
Left corner three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm warning continues until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 32, winds out of the north 10 to 15 miles per hour. 22 tonight, chance of snow showers. 25 tomorrow, cloudy. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this January 19th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. It is 10:05 on the clock, and at 10:30, we're going to welcome in Kayla Rumblatsky. She is the Community Development Educator at UW Extension Wood County. Looking forward to talking with her. Right now, we have in studio with us Lisa Kubis, Executive Director at Visit Rome. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks good. For being here today.
Yeah, nice to be here.
How was it getting in?
The roads are great.
Yeah, wasn't too bad?
No, right.
Oh, good to
beautiful
hear.
Scenery. So.
Lisa, we have a lot to talk about with the Rome area. I can't wait to dive into it. I want to just start off, though, thanking you not only for the nice pullover here that I'm wearing. I love this thing. It's great.
Awesome.
It's so comfortable.
Awesome.
But I throw it on this morning, and we've got all the snow out here, and I'm going to go out there and shovel, and I got my coffee, and I literally put it over me, and I was hit over the head by nostalgia. when I first moved to this area, as I've told you, I was in the Rome area. I lived in off Lake Camelot with my nan and papa, and I was brought back to being a kid again. Like, I was 13, and I was in that moment going out there to shovel with my papa just from throwing this on.
Oh, awesome.
Such a fan of the Rome area and having a chance to talk about it and put the spotlight on it like we get a chance to. Mm-hmm. Really enjoy this time.
Good. Yeah, it's always great to be here.
And there is so much to talk about here. Let's go ahead and kick things off with January 20th.
All right. Yeah, January 20th through Sunday, January 22nd. Interesting kind of out-of-the-box event offered at Sand Valley. If you've ever heard of the Wim Hof Method, it's really about, it's rooted in breathing, breath training, meditation, workshops, and cold water therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And Sand Valley, this is open to the public Saturday. You can attend the workshops. There's some pricing. It would be $165. That would include all the workshops. And for $275, it's the workshops, a guided hike out at Sand Valley, yoga, and a Saturday night dinner. So if you're free this weekend and you want to try something new and different, it would be probably a great experience.
So just doing a little homework on this, and it's interesting too, because Katrina Hittner from Family Natural Foods joined us the other day, and a thing for her lately has been doing these ice dips, these, you know, going into the water and stuff and diving really in and getting that. Mm-hmm. There's a little of that in this, and there's a little bit of a lot of those natural techniques. This is Wim Hof is an ice known as the Iceman. That's kind of his nickname. And he's a Dutch motivational speaker, extreme athlete. And this is one of the more, like, the numbers of the rise of the popularity of this is just shooting through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I think in part because it is winter, but also because there's something there for people. There's a meditation. There's a peace that comes with this. There's something there that is unreachable for some people, but they get there through this process.
Right, right. Yeah, it definitely is growing in popularity. I know Sand Valley. Years past, they had this offered one weekend, and now this year they've extended it to two weekends. So, definitely something that is people are interested in.
Yeah, and that tells you something too. Sand Valley's very good at what they do, and they're not adding on a day or bringing something back if it's not doing well, just correct. To be blunt about it and everything. So in this area, it has been very successful and popular too, and a great opportunity to learn more about it. One of the things I enjoyed about learning about it was there's no true like side effects to anything like this. You try it, doesn't work very well, you got out of the house. You got to go to the Rome area for a day and have some fun, you know? Right. I mean, there's no real downside to doing something like this.
Correct.
Is there a way that people can find out more about this?
Yes. You could go to the sandvalleypursuits.com. It's under their events section, and it's the name of the weekend is called Chill Out One.
That's a great name.
Otherwise, someone could call their phone number, talk to a customer service agent, and that number is 866-976-7804.
Is this something that people need to register for?
It is. Mm.
And the registration similar, just going to the same type of website and everything?
I think they would need to register by calling, but they can look at what, you know, the further details on the website and then give them a call if you're interested in registering.
This time of year, one of my favorite words and favorite things is fishery. I love that word. Love fisheries. We got one coming up.
Yeah, this is kind of the other end of the spectrum.
Yes.
But Lake Sherwood is holding their fishery on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. This is held on Free Fishing Day, and everything benefits the Lake Sherwood Property Owners Association. Lots of fun for kids and adults. And we talked about this last month, but a great way to get outdoors and connect with your community.
Yeah, even people who don't necessarily fish, you know, a lot or anything like that, or at all, even can enjoy this. It's one of those community events, and everybody can get behind something like the Lake Sherwood Property Owners Association. That's a conservation fund that they do over there. Really good work that they're doing. So that part of this is great too. Cash prizes, trophies. I mean, there's nothing not to like about a fishery.
Right, and the Sherwood Lodge is actually offering breakfast and lunch specials as well. So
even more,
enjoy some great food.
That way, well, that's really smart. Not only because it's really going to bring people in, we love that kind of stuff. But hey, you don't make a catch, you still got your dinner taken care of. You're all right. You're all right.
Exactly.
You're all
right. Yeah.
That is going on this Saturday from 8 to 4:30.
Correct.
And then Friday, January 27th through the 29th, got another fun one coming up.
Yes, another event at Sand Valley. It is their Snow Valley Weekend. It runs from Friday 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 on Sunday. In partnership, actually, with Visit Rome, there's just a huge offering of outdoor activities, including ice skating, pond hockey, snowshoeing, snowman building, tons of things for kids, including arts and crafts, a scavenger hunt. And then the end of the day, Saturday, they are showing the Happy Feet movie for entire family.
That's awesome. That's a good one, especially this time of year. That's a good one that's great. Now, again, this is another one of those fun events. Get you out of the house, get you, getting the kids active, getting them something to do along with you and yours. You know, that's always fun.
Yeah, and completely open to the public, and it is free of charge. So come and check Sand Valley out.
A special fishery coming up on the 28th.
Yeah, it is the Mark Simmons Memorial Fishery and Raffle. Again, I mean, another fishery that would be great for you to get outdoors, whether you're competing in it or not, still a way to get outdoors. All proceeds go to the Heart for Heroes Honor Flight through the American Legion Post 442.
Good guy, really good guy, and the reason why they're doing something like this for this, and certainly anything involving the White American Legion Post or any of these kind of things, we certainly like the Heart for Heroes. What a great great campaign, great organization. Honor Flight, American Legion, these are all things we talk about a lot on the air, and any chance to support them, we want to take that advantage. But this is also going to be a lot of fun, and this is going to be a great event and a really celebration of life along with all these other great parts of it.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of the fisheries, it seems like they're doing it for a cause, which is great as well.
It's one of the great things that I think, I can't prove this, but we perfected here in the Midwest, combining a cause that we care about while having a good time.
Right.
I don't think anybody does it better than us here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Coming up on Friday, February 3rd through the 5th, another great one. This is the second annual. I didn't realize this is the second annual. That's
it
right.
It is. The second annual County Classic Pond Hockey mm-hmm. Tournament at Sand Valley. They have about 20 teams this year competing.
Oh, nice.
Last year it was, I think, 9 or 10.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's doubled in size.
That's cool.
And, you know, we want to continue the growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's open to everyone to come out and watch. It's a really fun event. The games are held on the ponds out at Sand Valley.
Yeah.
So come check it out.
As my father would call it, true hockey.
Right.
That's the way hockey's supposed to be played. That's the way.
Right.
It's if you haven't seen a whole lot of hockey or ever never watched it, hockey. The only thing more fun than playing hockey is watching hockey, and being able to take that in. It's a really fun time. I remember last year this and them having the nice turnout with the 10 teams. That seemed really great and everything. To see it doubled. That really, again, just speaks to how popular, how much fun these things are.
They are.
That is really cool to hear.
There's a food truck outside, and, I mean, of course, the Mammoth Bar is open if you'd like to have a cocktail afterwards. So just a fun event to attend.
Yeah, and again, Sand Valley, it's so beautiful out there. There's not a time of the year that it's not nice to be out there, let alone all the great activities that there are. I mean, just standing, just being out there is always nice, let alone doing any, being a part of any of these things.
Yeah, winter is beautiful out there.
Yeah, it really is. And then coming up Saturday, February 4th, Jigging with Heroes Ice Fishing Event. I had to say that title, just that's a fun title.
Yeah.
I had to say it at least once.
Yeah, and there's a little bit different of a spin here. It's not a fishery, but it's an event that is held for up to five families. Mm. You apply to be part of this. It's a one-day event that includes gear and a day of ice fishing with bait, tackle, lunch. So if you've ever wanted to try ice fishing and haven't had a chance, you can go ahead and apply for this at heroesharvest.org.
I was talking with a buddy of mine about this the other day, and I think I've probably done almost as much ice fishing as I've done regular fishing. I've just done a lot of both. And the one thing I'd forgotten, because I've been doing both of them for so long, is those early lessons you learn in ice fishing. And to be able to do it with some people that already know what they're doing is arguably the greatest way to do it, and especially if you are new to it. But I'd say that even if you've been doing it for a long time or your whole life, you can always learn new things from people.
Oh, for sure.
And as we see from the DNR and others, it's every year there's more and more, not more and more, but there's more concern for this and for people being smart on the ice. And things, events like this are a fun way of learning more and more about being safe out there and really being able to enjoy yourself when you're out on that ice.
Oh, right. And it's this event takes place out on Lake Peatonwell. And I don't know if, James, you follow any of the pages out there, but the fish coming out of that lake are just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I saw some of that. That wasn't like that when I was a kid, I seem to remember. I remember like Peatonwell and Camelot having kind of like a similar thing. But now it seems to be a little bit better over there at Peatonwell. It's nice. Nice place to do some fishing.
Yeah, for sure.
You can find out more, I see, at heroesharvest.org. That is heroesharvest.org. That is where you can also feel free to apply.
Right, that's correct.
Coming up, the Candle Trail Walk, another one of our favorite events. We love this one.
Oh, yeah. Tri-Norris Winter Park, they hold several events throughout the year, including Colorama, if anyone attended that. They hold the Mini Mudder in the summertime. But they do a couple candlelight trail walks over the winter. And this would be either snowshoeing, if there's snow.
Yeah.
If there's no snow, it's just a hike. I went last year and there wasn't any snow, so just a candlelit hike, but it was still super fun.
Yeah.
They have a huge bonfire and serve usually apple cider, and they are offering a spaghetti and meatball dinner this year that will benefit our local bicycling club.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. And again, these causes, and they're all great. And they're all an opportunity for us to add to them, to help the people that are doing the work there while having a darn good time.
Oh, sure. And the event is free of charge.
And that's always nice, too. And I have to say, the events that we have when you and I get together, Lisa, I don't know of an event that has come up where it seems like, oh, I worry about the price in the back of my head or something like that for people. Like, they're always affordable. They're always, I don't know that anybody necessarily goes out of their way to like have this conversation, but it really feels like a gentleman's kind of agreement almost with it in that area. And we're going to make sure that these things are affordable for everybody.
Right. Yeah. It's really nice. It's and obviously, cool, you know, they take donations to maintain their trails, but they do want to offer it, you know, to anyone out in the public.
And those trails are so important. They're so much fun. And so many people give up pieces of their land for you to be able to ride on them and everything. Treat that property well. Treat it like it's your own. And have a lot of fun and be safe out there, everybody. That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, sure.
I appreciate you sharing that you were on it last year, Lisa, because I think that if you haven't done it before, you may think, well, if there's no snow, it might not be as much fun. Or if there is too much snow, it might be not as much fun. Mm-hmm. It's nice to, I think, for people to hear those kind of feedback. No, it's a great time no matter what. Doesn't really matter what Mother Nature's up to. You're going to have a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
February 10th. Always like talking about our winter farmers markets.
Yeah, so once a month during the winter time, we hold our winter farmers market. I think a lot of people know how big our summer markets are, but the winter is growing in popularity. So that's February 10th from noon to 3:30. You know, obviously a little bit smaller of an offering, but we do have a lot of people love the fry pies that are offered, as well as there were tamales last month. Both of those food items sold out. So get there early if you're interested in either of those food items.
We're fortunate here in town on Saturdays at Moravian Church from 9 to 1. They have a winter's farmers market. And when we talk about it, we you know, encourage people to check it out and all these things. But one of the things that I always like to stress is this is another great way to help out our ag industry, our farmers, especially during a time of the year where there's not a ton of income. Not only that, but you're getting some of the better products in the state. And they're naturally, you know, just right there. There's no middleman with this stuff. And I think that part really brings people to it, too.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And then Friday, February 10th, we have Snow Blast at Lake Arrowhead. It's back.
Oh, yeah. Snow Blast is just a huge winter event in the town of Rome. It starts 9 a.m. Friday through 6 p.m. Sunday. Just a plethora of offerings.
Yeah. We've only got like 8 and 7 minutes left. I don't know if we have enough time. I don't know. There's so much.
Yeah. I mean, it starts Friday with there's a fish fry buffet in the evening. Visit Rome we are sponsoring dueling pianos that night. The Allen Brothers Band is playing on Friday night, which they are just an incredible local band.
Really good band.
Saturday, again, loaded with events, kids' carnival games, craft and cookie decorating. There's fireworks in the evening. Southbound will be playing that evening.
Nice.
Sunday, ice bowling. There's a snow golf tournament. and then kind of to round things up, there's a Super Bowl watch party at 5:30 with
Perfect.
A chili cook-off. But those 3 days are just loaded with events out at Lake Arrowhead.
You may not see your home. You may just stay down there.
Right.
There's just something to do every day.
Right.
Really nice setup, by the way, of everybody working on this and to have like kind of a whole weekend, a Super Bowl weekend of stuff to do and stuff, everything. The dueling pianos is one of my favorites. I love that. Way to go sponsoring that. That's very cool. And I mean, there's just so much to talk about here. I don't know where to really focus.
I know.
One of the things that I do think is fun, too, is, you know, if you, well, I'm free this day, but I'm not that day, you can kind of like come and go to these events, too.
For sure. And again, this is open to the public. Everything is free of charge. The dueling pianos were actually asking for a $10 donation, mm-hmm. which will go to a local charity. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like we like to remind people and everything, that's going right back into the community. That mm-hmm. stays right in state. So it's always nice when you can add to things like that and take in something like dueling pianos. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
How can people get tickets?
To reserve your seat for Dueling Pianos, you would contact Lucky out at Lake Arrowhead. The phone number is 715-325-2915. To see the whole calendar of events for this for Snow Blast, you could go to lakearrowhead.com, and there's a whole listing of the times of all the offerings.
Yeah. And then to kind of wrap up our events, I wanted to mention coming up Saturday, February 11th, one of the more classic events and the oldest events in this area.
Right. Yeah, it's the 91st annual wow. Tri-Norse Winter Tournament. So if you've ever been out there, it's the ski jumping
yeah.
tournament. Mm-hmm. So you can come and watch the kids go off the jumps.
Yeah.
They're offering concessions. Just a really fun thing to watch.
You never know who you might be seeing out there. You could be seeing a future Olympian. I mean,
it's
that close to it and everything. That's so cool to me. And it again, we speak to these events that have been around a long time. They're not around because nobody goes to them, people. I mean, mm-hmm. they're around because they're not only popular and fun, but we get something from these that I don't know if we can really word. There's some pride that comes in seeing these athletes and knowing mm-hmm. that they're from their state athletes and everything. And it's just cool. Like, it's just amazing watching them fly off those things.
Yeah.
It never gets old. It's one of my favorite Olympic events, too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to watch. And it's kids from around the whole Midwest. I mean, there's a circuit. They go to tournaments yeah. all winter long. So pretty unique to watch.
And just talking to athletes in years past and everything, the support, I've literally seen kids be able to word how they feel, what it's like to be up there and knowing that there's a crowd, that there's people down there. It means a lot to have family and friends down there, but strangers cheering you on has a different feeling to it. Mm-hmm. That support, it's unparalleled.
Yeah.
And again, that event is going on Saturday, February 11th from noon to 4. If right. people want to find out more about that, is there a website we can send them to or anything?
Yeah, it's the, Tri-Norse.
Yeah.
Winterpark.org.
Yep, that's it. Nicely done, Lisa. Nice, nice. Right at the top of your head right there. I had to look it up. That was pretty good. Lisa, did you want to touch on any more of these events, recap them again, or touch on something else?
I was going to mention, we didn't have it on our list today, but always at Hoozles on Wednesdays is the Elite Trivia with Lucas, and had to mention I went for the first time last night with some friends. It was just a blast.
Awesome.
So that's every Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Hoozles.
Very cool to hear. It's interesting. I brought that up earlier today on the morning show because we were talking about trivia at bars and stuff and how much fun that is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he has such a great job with that. He's really good at emceeing. The audience always has a good time. It's a great thing to check out.
Right. Right. It was really fun.
I'm glad that came up too, because these events that we just went through, we just spun the audience's brains, because there's so much fun coming up. There's so many great things going on, but you don't need us to tell you that the Rome area, even without these events, you go out there and there's skiing, there's snowmobiling, there are so many great things that you can enjoy just in nature. Animal watching. There's a lot of things that I know as a kid that I enjoyed doing, and I know many local residents out there just. Not even just in the Rome area, but just in this Grand Central Wisconsin area, love going to check out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to encourage people as well to support Visit Rome. They do great work over there, Lisa and the gang, and they're not a huge staff, so every little bit helps. And one of the ways you can help out is certainly promoting these things in your water cooler conversations and reminding people, hey, did you hear about this event? Mentioning the website visitromewi.com is another great resource. But get some gear, people. Like, the gear there is great. Like, the guys that design your stuff, the people that are doing all that work, great stuff. Like, they really are doing a nice job.
Thank you.
I want to encourage people to do that. And again, you can find out more about this and all the other things Lisa and I have been talking about at visitromewi.com. That's visitromewi.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Lisa, if people have other follow-up questions, they want to talk to you directly, is there a way to contact you?
Yeah, they could call our office. The number is 715-325-3090.
Always good talking with you. And thanks for being in studio today.
Yeah,
it was nice.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk again real soon.
Sorry.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC Insured.
Hey Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm warning continues until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 32, winds out of the north 10 to 15 miles per hour. 22 tonight, chance of snow showers. 25 tomorrow, cloudy. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this January 19th, 2023. Your host, James J. here, and I am joined right now by Kayla Rumblatsky. She is the Community Development Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good morning, Kayla.
Good morning.
Thank you for being in studio.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Got such great guests. You know, you guys show up and everything. It's so nice. I was telling Lisa, it's okay to do these interviews over the phone. We like that, but there's just something nice about having people in studio and being able to talk face-to-face.
Agreed. It's more fun this way.
And it was okay getting in today? You're right?
Yeah, good. It wasn't bad. My son, I will tell you, I've talked about my kids a few times on this show, and my son is very excited because the snow outside is packy.
Yeah.
So he wants to make a snowman.
I already talked Seth into going outside and making a fort with me.
There we go. Perfect.
We're definitely doing that.
Exactly. That's like a mindfulness exercise, right?
Absolutely.
Like, it's good for your mental health.
We're going to get into a topic today that I think is one of the more important ones that we're going to be discussing, and not just now, but really going ahead until it really gets kind of fixed or is better. And I did a little homework myself. I know you did too. Let's go ahead and dive right into this. Housing, just that's right. It. Just housing.
Right
there is where we're going.
Yeah. So, James, you and I have talked about some pretty critical issues of a community on air. We talked about broadband. We've talked about childcare. Now we're talking about housing. And with all of these, what I think is interesting is that we keep using the word crisis because, childcare is a crisis. There's a lack of affordable or a lack of access to childcare centers. And with housing, there's housing shortage, and they often use the word crisis with that as well. So I think, crisis, using that word so much kind of dilutes the importance of it. But with regard to housing, it really is some dire situations across the country and in Wood County.
I think our younger generations have noticed this or been aware of it, whether they realized it or not, for a long time. The generation, our parents' parents, like, you know, I'm 45, so I'm like, my parents, they grew up in a time where their parents helped them buy a house. Their parents maybe helped them do this, or maybe they gave them their house when they retired or you know, moved on or something like that. Right. And that kind of stopped happening for a lot of reasons that, you know, yeah, we don't have to necessarily get into. But and when that went away is when you really had the beginnings of the housing crisis.
Right.
And then, so we're talking like late 70s, early 80s. That's how long this has been an issue.
Right.
And then you compound that with every other issue we have had since then, which, you know, some haven't gone away, some are new. It is all added to this topic.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because there are so many, I call them if-then statements. So, like, if this happens, then this will happen. So when we look at housing and what's happening recently, you know, baby boomers are aging, but they're staying in their homes longer. Mm-hmm. They're not moving into, you know, care facilities or just transient housing. They're staying put, which means that those houses are not on the market and available for younger, maybe workforce housing needs. Mm-hmm. And so it just exacerbates the crisis and it goes kind of around. So there's a new study. This housing issue has been on the docket for a long time. Mm-hmm. But there's a new study from Forward Analytics, which is the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. And that report found that the state needs to build at least 140,000 housing units by 2030 to keep up with current demand. If Wisconsin hopes to increase its working age population by the end of the decade, the number of housing units needed jumps to 227,000. So that's kind of, you know, that ties into that if-then statement. So we've talked about all of the crises that we have in our community, if you will. Another one is workforce. We need people to fill jobs. We have jobs available and we don't have enough people to do it. So if we're attracting those people in, if we're hiring more people and bringing them into our community, which we love and we want them to love as well, where are they going to live? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that second part of that quote is, if we hope to increase our working age population by the end of the decade, the number jumps even more. And so it's just, you know, it's like you solve one piece of the puzzle and then you create another issue over here.
And it's something, because we're going to come back to that before we wrap up today. I'm going to have you read those stats one more time. I really want to make sure the audience has that sink in.
Sure.
So many times in life, there is no villain. There is no bad guy. Things happen. Life just happens. It's not a bad thing that baby boomers are staying in their homes longer. That's a great thing.
That's
positive.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing, and we're encouraging of that, and that's awesome way to go, boomers. But the side effect of that can be negative. And again, it's not necessarily that anybody did something wrong here or anything. I know when we're talking housing, that's a huge umbrella. And there's plenty of things with the housing market we can get into. And, you know, the way that it is harder for certain races to get housing or get a loan than others. There's a lot of layers to this.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as that part of it goes, I don't want to skate past that too much. That's not a bad thing. It just has a side effect that kind of has had a downside, because we haven't been able to build more houses. Exactly. We haven't had more people to fill jobs. So these kind of things, it would have been okay had we had this other stuff going on.
Right.
I'm fortunate every month to do Let's Talk Real Estate with J.R. Seward.
Sure.
And Seward Realtors, who for me, my money, are the best in this area and the best in the business. And in part because they not only care about their clients, but they know their stuff. They are constantly keeping up to date on research, and not just how, you know, the buying and selling of houses. How's the lumber industry doing?
Right.
How's this industry
doing? How does that cause and effect play in?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've learned so much about this, and I may never own a home, but I look at that stuff as important data, as somebody who cares about my community, cares about this area, because that adds up whether I own a home or I don't. That's going to affect me.
Yeah, exactly. And the home ownership market affects the rental market, right? So like whether you own a home or you don't, it still affects you if you want a place to live. So let's talk, that's the statewide statistic. Yeah. We know that this is happening across the nation. So this is not just a Wisconsin issue. It's not just a Wood County issue. Though I will say, I want to give the caveat that a lot of times when you watch the national news, these things are escalated. And living in central Wisconsin, I think we have a pretty unique environment in the sense that the things that are happening on the coast in the big city, so you look at LA, you look at New York City, those things we feel here, but we feel it a little less harshly than they do on those coasts.
Yeah.
So when we dive into some of this data and when we do research, it's important to kind of realize that the things that you're hearing the talking heads, I'll use that term, talk about on the news are not necessarily being felt as strongly in central Wisconsin.
Always like to remind people to do your homework. You know,
exactly.
I tell them, even if I'm saying something and I've researched it to death and I've looked at this site and this site and everything, still look it up yourself. Do your own homework.
Right. Yeah. Very true. Very important.
There's a lot more from this study about Forward Analytics. Do you want to touch on some more of that, or did we cover all that?
That's the big point, is just the fact that there's such a shortage. I think where we should go with our conversation is talking about what we see locally and what we can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's always the important part, is how do we solve this issue? How do we make a dent in it?
It would be kind of a very let down interview if all we did was just tell people about problems.
Right,
and that,
right.
Well, we got no clue how to help you. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck.
That's our answer.
This is another, as I was thinking about this interview and thinking about our conversations, I thought, you know, this is going to be another James and Kayla Save the World conversation.
Yes, yes, it is.
We have the answers, and we'll figure it out. We'll take that brunt of the burden on.
I do like the idea of course, going local and going Wood County specifically with this, though.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So the needs are a little bit different in Rapids versus Marshfield and in rural Wood County versus our more metro areas. But it's apparent across the board that there is just not enough housing stock available.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to give out some thoughts based on some of the people. I've spoken with some realtors and I've done some sort of informal studies, if you will. And I thought it was very interesting that in 2015, here in Rapids, in the Rapids area, there were approximately 350 to 400 listings available for homes, right? So 2015, 350 to 400. Today, in 2023, there are 38.
Jeez.
38 homes available for purchase. And that's from $0 to $700,000.
Man.
So if you're looking, I mean, anywhere in that scope, if you're looking for a starter home, if you're looking to move out of your starter home and into a next step home, there's just not a lot available. And there are approximately, let's say, 80 real estate agents in the Wisconsin Rapids area for those 38 homes.
Some
realtors are part-time, some are full-time, but if you assume that they're working with maybe five clients, it's impressively scarce, we'll say that.
And scary. Like,
right.
Just downright scary.
Right.
Like, it takes a lot to get under my skin, but that does. That stat really stays with you.
And then for our friends in Marshfield, I don't want to leave them out. So there are, in the Marshfield market, forgive me, I'm just trying to sort through my notes at the moment.
I know what that is like. You can relate to
I
that.
I should have highlighted it. Mm-hmm. I've had really fascinating conversations, and so I just have a lot of stuff.
Well, I imagine some of these stats are just right there at the top of your head, too. So
yeah. So there are...
We can come
four,
back.
15 to 18 houses for sale in city limits. So that's that's in the city limits of Marshfield. That doesn't necessarily include some of the surrounding communities, but... like 20 houses for sale in the city limits.
And if there's anybody out there kind of going, well, those are smaller rural areas and everything, doing, you know, it doesn't take a big search to look at LA, Chicago, other cities dealing with a very similar thing. Like Kayla was kind of talking about a bit before, those numbers are going to obviously be bigger, right. But they are, if you compare that to population sizes, it's actually the same. They even out. So right. you're dealing with the same issues in metro areas and rural areas. In small towns and big towns, like, this is a nationwide problem. It's really interesting to hear the stats locally, though. I don't think we get that at all, really.
Yeah.
I really cannot thank you enough for the data, the research you've done on this.
Yeah, of course.
We did mention we were going to solve the world's problems. Right. We'll do that when we come back. You got to make them wait. You got to go to do the commercial break and you make them wait for it. Then we solve the problem.
Yes.
We'll be back with more here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Last spring, you chose hard-working seed, but did it work as hard as you did? At NK Seeds, we know that all the time, all the effort, comes down to this. All that matters now is yield and how the seed performed on your acre. Because you can't fake performance, and bushels don't lie. Visit nkseeds.com/harvest.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
The Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm warning continues until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Overcast this afternoon with snow likely. Highs around 32. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight. Lows level off around 22. Highs around 25 tomorrow. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
A big thank you to Jennifer and our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Shout out to them. Thank you so much. We are appreciating you all joining us. Kayla Rumblatsky, a community development educator at UW-Madison Extension, Wood County, here on Morning Magazine. And we've been talking about housing, Kayla, and getting into this. We kind of gave people some stats locally when it comes to this subject. We've talked about it quite a bit. Now let's solve the subject. Let's just get it done so everybody doesn't have anything
figure
to worry
it out.
About.
Exactly.
In all seriousness, let's get into how can we, you know, so many of these topics you and I have talked about and really just topics in day-to-day life these days, I find that one of the biggest things for people is I want to do something about this, but it's so daunting. It seems so big. And what can I do to, you know, make an impact on such a big thing?
Right. So like anything, it's not a one bullet magic, you know, magic bullet approach. But I think it comes down to a couple of things. One of the things that we're seeing across the state and locally is zoning reform. So breaking down barriers for development. You know, if a developer wants to come in and work on a project, oftentimes if they have to buy the land, they've already got that expense before they've even built a wall. And so we need, the issue comes down to lack of available housing stock. We just need more housing.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is to reform zoning and to break down some of those barriers for development. And that's really what the Forward Analytics study found, is that zoning reform is really the most important thing to allow for more single-family homes, but then also more multifamily units and different types of housing, because that's the way that we'll really impact the market with more new construction. But the other side of it is the existing homes that we have, many of them are getting older. They're, getting to a point of dilapidation and really are in need of some repairs and some fixes in order to make them, a quality place to live for the next 100 years. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it as well, is potentially having some opportunity to allow for renovation, to allow for incentivizing those fixes, to really update the quality of the housing stock. And then sort of the third thing is that looking at creative ways to solve the challenges, and looking at what type of housing is needed in each area. So one of the things that I talked with some realtors in Marshfield about is that in Marshfield there is a large population of traveling workforce, right? So mm-hmm. with Marshfield Clinic, there are at any given time up to 175 people that are traveling. And so what they're looking for really is fully furnished housing. Mm-hmm. They're looking for furnished living because they're doing some long-term traveling, and oftentimes they end up in a hotel or they end mm-hmm. up in a different type of housing situation. So is there an option, to infiltrate the market with more of those furnished living opportunities? Updating the rental units is important as yes. well. There's a bit of a disparity between the brand new sort of top of the line mm-hmm. rentals and then the older housing stock mm-hmm. that has been on the market for a while in terms of the rental market, and perhaps needs some updates, needs some some TLC mm-hmm. in order to meet the demand of workforce housing. So that's important as well.
Almost every industry has had to do this. You have to adapt to modern times, especially with the internet and the rise of that. You've had to adapt. Now, the housing industry, I think, in many ways, has done a great job of this. Right now, if I want to buy a house in California, I can go online. I can virtually look at that thing all over and see just about every little nook and cranny of it if I want to. Talk to a realtor on Skype and do all these things. Like, it's adapted to technology very, very well. But there's other parts of the industry that are still trying to catch up. And so many of them Kayla has touched on today. I feel like that's a big part of this conversation, is not only these different groups, lumberers and realtors working together and sharing information and all this, community activists and leaders working with realtors and that, but the business aspect of this, it's so vital to the conversation on both ends. One, for these realtors to not only continue to obviously make a living, but for our construction industry to flourish and to have right. jobs to do work, put people to work and make these houses and everything. To the other side of it, where people who, it's not as affordable as it used to be to buy a home.
Absolutely.
We've talked about this for over 20 years. Minimum wage doesn't add up anymore. You can't. If I have a job, I'm a single guy, I got no other responsibilities, I work 40 hours a week and I'm getting paid a minimum wage, I'd be lucky to afford a room. Right. Not an apartment, a room
right.
in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to find it. Like, here, the rent is high, let right. alone in a big city or even in a metropolitan area similar to Milwaukee or La Crosse or something like
right.
that, where a lot of our listeners are. It doesn't add up. So all of these groups of people got to put their egos aside, their politics aside, and get this figured out.
Right. Exactly. And that's an important point, too, is because so many people, in my preparation for this interview, there are a lot of recent articles from WPR, from NPR, that are talking about housing and the housing issues. And in those articles, they will give stories of people who have said, you know, I have a young family, I was single, I've recently, you know, started to settle down, and now I'm looking to buy that first home. And the people that are cited in those articles have said, like, yeah, we gave up. We're just gonna start again later, because there's nothing available. And when there is something available, often if you want to secure that housing, this has slowed down a little bit, but if you want to secure that housing, you know, 2-3 years ago, it wasn't uncommon for people to be offering $150,000 over asking make sure that if that's their house, if that's their dream house, they get it. And so it's really a staggering shortage that we're seeing both locally and across the country.
And since, you know, like a lot of industries, but maybe this one more than most, it has such a domino effect and affects so many different things.
Right.
We just had Mayor Blazer in for the Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer in yesterday. And one of the things we always talk about is population and keeping people in town, bringing new people to your town. Well, as Kayla just mentioned earlier, if I'm a young couple and I'm looking at Wisconsin Rapids or Marshfield or Wausau or Nakusa or any of these great cities, I'm like, that seems like a cool place to raise my kid. That seems like I like the schools. I like this. I like that. What's the housing looking like? And there's two houses to look at.
Right.
And I don't like either of them, or they don't fit my family. I got too many kids or any of this stuff. I'm moving on. I'm immediately, they're not taking hours to think about this, everybody. They're immediately hitting the next city and looking, well, what's this town like? What's Milwaukee looking like? What's this city looking like? And moving on.
Right.
Economic impact that this has is so huge to that part of it.
Yeah.
Keeping people in town. You mentioned the houses, and I can only afford an apartment. And this apartment complex I'm in, they're not doing a good job keeping it up. They're not taking care of it and everything.
Yeah.
I don't want to stay living in a place like that.
Right.
I'm going to look for a job somewhere else that maybe I make a little less, maybe make a little bit more, but I like the housing. I like where my kids are going to school. I like these things. It all adds up.
Yeah. And in a market that's so competitive as well with housing, you know, you mentioned the rental market, apartments, a lot of those complexes now have indoor workout facilities. They have indoor parking. They have they're really increasing the amount of amenities that they're seeing, and people want that. So they're finding those places. Or, you know, you look at those mixed-use developments that have apartments over the top of retail locations. So maybe you have a grocery store on the first level of your apartment. Now, that's not right for everyone, you know, having that, living in that urban type of environment. But for some people, man, if I just have to walk down the stairs to get a gallon of milk, okay, sign me up.
Yep, yeah, I'm right there right now.
And so it's important, and this is the case with all community issues, right? But it's important to think about the fact that you have a wide variety of interests and of needs for different families and individuals based on what they want for their living arrangements. And really at the end of the day, we want those people in our community. We want a diverse group of young to old demographics living in our community. They make us stronger. They make it a more fun and exciting place to live. But we need to make sure that they have a place to live in the community, that they have housing available.
I know that we've touched on this locally and statewide, you know, and countrywide, that this is an issue throughout the whole country. But there are cities that are, you know, I don't want to say flourishing, but doing well with this subject. And there, it's not hard to see the theme, to see the connections of ones that are doing well and ones that aren't. So many of the, like you brought up all the big four hitters there, of the plan goals, the new construction, zoning reform. Zoning reform is one of those ones that doesn't get talked about nearly enough. And upgrading existing housing. Those are all huge and really nice points. Did a nice job with those. Just to add to that, just to piggyback off of it, being dog friendly is huge.
Right.
Is huge right now. I know that doesn't have it's a little bit offshoot of housing, but we've talked about this a lot on the air, how important that is. And Rapids is building a dog park. You know, other cities have gone and done this and become more dog friendly. Like, It's just these things that you do to entice people to want to move to your area. And that's great. And it's cool. We're going to have a dog park and everything. But it doesn't matter. As again, we've been saying, if I look at this area and all I see is two houses available and neither of them fit my model of my family.
Right.
The way we work about these things, too, is by certainly paying attention to your politicians and what they're voting for and where they stand on these issues and putting people in office that are going to, you know, do the best by your city.
Right. Exactly.
I wanted to make sure to mention those stats one more time, if you don't mind, before we wrap up.
I would be happy. So I'll read. I think that the state statistic is really pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read this again, and I am just reading it verbatim from the Forward Analytics study. So this, again, is from January 2023, so super current. And it said, the report found that the state needs to build at least 140,000 housing units by 2030 to keep up with current demand. If Wisconsin hopes to increase its working age population by the end of the decade, the number of housing units needed jumps to 227,000.
Just got to stay with, you know, I really hope that stays with people. Because I don't want it to be daunting. I don't want it to be like seem too heavy to where we can't get out from under this hill or anything like that. But it is necessary that we do pay attention to how serious this is.
Right.
It's not going away.
And exactly.
I've used this before, but it's one of my favorite lines I've ever heard in a movie, TV show, anything. There's an episode of The Sopranos, and Tony looks at his son, and he goes, "Buy land, AJ. God ain't making any more of it." It's a great line. It's very poignant, but it also speaks to how important this issue is.
Right.
And we take care of this. And one of the most simplest of human things is to want to have a home to come to. Walls, a roof, to be able to hold you and the one things you love under and keep them
exactly.
safe.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's one of those issues that not only the economic impact, but the human impact it has. It needs to be talked about. You did a really nice job with this one.
Great
homework on that. You did some real good research.
Thank you for doing your homework as well.
It's always great to talk to you. Kayla. I can't help myself. Like, I just go on these rabbit holes and can't help myself. We do want to let people know that if they want to find out more information, maybe follow up with you about some things.
Sure.
How can they reach you?